First, I'll mention a famous question that Mefarshim asked at the beginning of Vayakhel. A number of times, I am sure, we have noted, and you also are aware, Shabbos is mentioned many, many times in Chumash. Rishonim have a field day trying to figure out why the din of Shabbos is mentioned so many times. And even though one could answer Balabatish, it's the Yesod HaEmunah, so there's a need to review, re-articulate Shabbos. That's not sufficient for Gedolei HaRishonim, and usually they attempt to discover and to ferret out the particular unique element each time Shabbos is mentioned. And I'll just give you the obvious examples, beginning of Bereishis. I'm not going to now accentuate the elements because that would be the end of the shiur. So, Bereishis, of course, we say in the Kiddush, Vayichud Hashemayim V'Arsechol Tzvam. That's in Sefer Bereishis. When we continue, and we go on to Sefer Shmos, so of course in Shmos, Kayadua, you have, let's start with in the Pasha, which is also fairly well known to us, namely the Pasha of B'Shalach, the Torah has the Pasha Saman, also a mention of Shabbos. In Yisro, we have that Ser Sadibris mention of Shabbos. Mishpatim, there's a discussion, actually Machlokes Tanoim and Mishnah Shvi'is, whether you have the mention of Shabbos or not. And then Vayakhel, so it's about the fifth or sixth time where the Torah has decided to mention Shabbos. And what's fascinating is that if you look in the earlier Parshas, I'm talking about Kisisa that I skipped specifically, because Kisisa also has Shabbos. Now, the first Aliyah Kisisa, Kayadua, the Magad Avraham, is a very lengthy Aliyah, because the Levi begins with the Cheder Egel, that the Yeshiva Levi was not involved in the Cheder Egel, that's why it's specifically set up that way. But prior to the Cheder Egel, we have a discussion of Shabbos. And essentially, it's in the context, of course, of the Mishkan, where Bezalel became the architect, Ben Uri, Ben Hur, Mati Yehuda, and the like. And then the Torah describes the Shabbos. So we should point out the particular component of Shabbos, which is unique to Kisisa, is the idea of Os. The fact that Shabbos is Osi, Beniu, Benechem, is mentioned by Tosfos a number of times in Shas, but the Rishonim, Rabbi Mechaye, Barichos, talks about it in the last week's Parsha Kisisa. And then after that, we have the Cheder Egel. Now we have in the beginning of Vayakhel, and this is what is striking. Nochamol, Shabbos comes to the fore, and the question is why? And what's interesting is that prior to that, we have the Mishkan and Trumat Tzavah, but also the Mishkan Meshachad Misrechem, and then Kisisa Shabbos, and here the order is reversed. The order first is Shabbos, and then back to the Mishkan, which more or less the beginning of Vayakhel, Tukum Dalet Hei Vav, we have now a review of Truma, and Pekudeh, we have a review of Tzavah. We'll question why the order was reversed, and why in general Shabbos was mentioned again. So the Beis Halevi says over a famous Yisod, I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, name of his great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi, he's named after him. The reason is the following. There are two different ways of getting to Hashem Yisbarach. There are many ways. But the Mishkan is a very, very high level of Hashras HaShchina. Shabbos is much more fundamental. Shabbos is the Yisod HaEmunah. But the Ramban writes Keseder and Chumash, especially in Pasuk Yisro, the Ramban elaborates at great length. This is Yisod HaEmunah, what Shabbos is all about. And therefore, the Beit HaLevi says something absolutely horrific occurred between the Pasha of Kisisa and the Pasha of Vayakhel, namely the Cheder Egel. So the Cheder Egel demonstrated that we weren't yet ready for that high level of Hashras HaShchina, namely Mishkan, all of its appurtenances, and all of the benefits that came, that accrued to us as a result of the Mishkan. There was a need for more basics, fundamentals. That's why, prior to that, the Torah first presents the Mishkan. In Truma, we also the Migdash Shachan B'Sarichem, and then Kisisa, we have Shabbos. But now, after the Cheder Egel, in the aftermath of the Cheder Egel, the Torah felt constrained to first mention Shabbos, because we need basics. First, we have to work on fundamentals before we start talking about Kechum Eitam Truma L'Hashem Kol Nidiv Libo, and the Mishkan, and all of that which is relevant to the Mishkan. Okay, that's just a little preamble. A very big yesod of the Beis Halevi, very famous yesod. What I want to talk about is that Vayakhel Moshe, let's read the first two psukim. There are a lot of the questions here. I'm not asking all the questions. There are about 100 questions my father was bothered by in these three psukim. I'm not going to go through them. It's not even today. We'd be here the entire night. I'm not sure we would satisfy ourselves with the answers to the questions. Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael vayomer aleihem. Moshe gathers everyone, and that also needs attention. A number of times we have in Chumash, beginning of Kedoshim, and Nitzavim, you have the Vayakel concept. What is required here? Why is Vayakel necessary here? That needs a separate shiur. But anyway, I'm just noting one of the questions that my father was bothered by, and why we're called Hadas B'nei Yisrael, as opposed to called Kahal Yisrael, or Kol Yisrael, or whatever other terminology you might use. And the next part of the pasuk, Eva Advarim Asher Tzivu Hashem, Lasos Osam. They really should have said, Eva Advarim Asher Tzivu Hashem, Lo Lasos. Things that we should not be doing. Namely, Shabbos has many Yisurim. What is the language, Asher Tzivu Hashem Lasos? Especially since the Torah is about to describe Shabbos, which is primarily, it also involves obviously elements of Aseh, but primarily Lavim and Los Aseh, and yet the Losh of the pasuk is, Asher Tzivu Hashem Lasos Osam. I continue. Sheisha Shiyam Teosa Melacha. Why the Nifal? Why Teosa? As opposed to Tase. Ubayom Ashiyah Lechem Kodesh Shabbos Shabbos and Hashem. I'm not going to go into all the Targumim over here. Targumim differ in Kisisa and Bayakel. Actually, I saw it discussed in the Sefer called Shai Lavi. Very nice discussion on this topic. I actually know the Mechaber. So he talks about the two Targumim, which differ, and Tzvei Dinim and Shabbos. That's what is articulated over there. But here, Kolosevo Malacha Yumas, right away my father asked, why here does it say Kolosevo Malacha Yumas and Kisisa, most Yumas? There are double Lashon, here a single Lashon, it fits in with the two Targum that I spoke about. And then, of course, the only Lav that's mentioned, there are two Lav that are mentioned in Chumash, namely Havara, and there's a reference to Hitzah, but here Havara, Leisavara, Esh, B'chol Moshul Seichem, B'yom HaShabbos. But the language here, as I said, Eile hadvarim asher tzivu Hashem la'asos esam. Torah uses Loshin Rabim, and then it goes to Loshin Yochid. Why exactly, how do you understand that? But what's more important to me, what I want to talk about right now, is the famous Rashi, which occurs no shortage of times. Rashi says over here, on Pasuk Bei, Shesh Yomim, Hikdin lehem azor Shabbos, Hatzivim lechaz HaMishkan. The question that I asked earlier, and presented the answer of the Beis HaLevi. So Rashi gives a more fundamental answer. Rashi says, why is the Torah presented Shabbos before Mishkan? Lomar, Sheh Zechus HaShabbos. Kayodua, that building of the Mishkan, the Lechus HaMishkan, is not Zechus Shabbos. And this idea that we have, that it's not Zechus Shabbos, it's quite rare that the Torah actually doesn't always present, I would say mostly does not. The Torah mostly does not present two different commandments, more or less, I would say, in Kimat. Bedibur Echad. Not that this is Bedibur Echad, but it's very fascinating that with reference to Shabbos and Mishkan, all over the place. I'll just give you a few examples where you see this. In Parshas Kisisa, we have a Chumash. So there also, after the story of the Mishkan, so there also we find in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud. So there, in Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud, we have the Chumash, you can see it inside. So there the Torah actually also clearly indicates, and after it mentions the Mishkan, then it says, Vayom HaShem, Yatot Dabri Al-Dabri Yisrael, Eimor, Ach, Eshapsol, Sek, Tishmoru, Ki Yosi, Beini, Benichem, V'dorosechem, Ach, Eshapsol, Sek, Tishmoru. And Rashi on the spot points out, Lamai Shabbos from Lechus HaMishkan. The same Rashi that we had now. Rashi there comes, the Gemara says, Achim Berekim Miyutimein. So it comes to teach you that you cannot build the Mishkan on Shabbos. So this is also, but here of course we have almost in the reverse fashion. First we have the mention of the Mishkan, beginning in Perek Lamed Aleph, and then starting with Pasuk Yud Beis, the Gimel, the idea of Shabbos. But again, the connection, the juxtaposition between Shabbos and Mishkan. This idea also is found again in Parshas Kedoshim. Take a look in Kedoshim. There again, the Torah decides to revisit this topic. It revisits it many, many times. Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Yutes, Pasuk Lamed. Eshapsosai tishmoru umigdoshi tiro ani Hashem. My father will show him just again another Derech Agav comment. This pasuk is found twice in Chumash, and my father, Meshuggah Gavoah, went nuts over the fact, why did the Torah feel constrained? An exact, identical pasuk found twice in Chumash. It seems to be without any foundation, without any basis. Of course, no such thing could possibly be. And of course, there is a foundation, there is a basis. I had this question, I started asking my rabbi when I was probably in third grade. I'm not exaggerating. And I went down the line for a course of approximately 30, 40 years. I asked about 30, 40 rabbeim, including some Gdolei Yisrael. And it was not so simple to resolve this question, so I'm just leaving it for you. I imagine you probably resolved it a long time ago. But anyway, so this is also another example of the connection between Shabbos and Mikdash. Shabsosai tishmor Mikdashi tiro. So ostensibly, one could argue here that, okay, Rashi cites a sugya, but Rashi again mentions Ein Binyan Mishabikdash, Zecha Shabbos, the third time that Rashi tells you that this is the explanation for the juxtaposition of these items. So, and if you want to go even a bit further, let me just think for a second, yes, in Parshas Bahar, look in Parshas Bahar now, in Perech Havav in Bahar, which is the end of the Parsha, this is where the Pasuk is found the second time, the end of Bahar. And in Kedoshim, the last passing in Bahar, Shapsosai Tishmaru, Mikdashi Tiro, Ani Hashem. So four times we have in Chumash the connection between Shabbos and Mishkan, which is incredibly striking. And what exactly is the nature of this connection? So I think the answer, to my mind, is fairly obvious, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit over here. Maybe become a bit more philosophic. In some respects, which I rarely have the opportunity to do, but I have that element in my weaponry as well. Shabbos is unquestionably a sanctuary, and the Beis HaMikdash is also a sanctuary. And there are two types of sanctuaries. There's a physical sanctuary named the Beis HaMikdash, and the Shabbos, of course, is not so much a sanctuary in physical terms, or if you will, in spatial terms, but rather Shabbos is a sanctuary in terms of Zman. And there's Kedushas Mokom and Kedushas Zman, the Tavi Yadua. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention this in this context. There was a very famous personality. I don't see any reason not to mention it. Professor Abraham Joshua Heschel. I don't know if many of you are familiar with him. I read all of his books, came out every single one, probably decades ago. And he has a book called The Sabbath, an outstanding, absolutely outstanding work, beyond outstanding. He was a professor in the seminary, not necessarily someone who was, I think he was pretty traditional. I don't know exactly what his connection was. He happens to be an Einikol of the Abt Rebbe, the Admor Mi'Abt, a number of generations, a very famous Chassidish Rebbe in Odom Golem Oy. He himself was a genius, this Professor Heschel, and he emanates from genius, came out Doros of geniuses, and he was a very, let's be polite, conflicted personality, religiously and the like. And he wrote a lot of very fascinating works. Some are more acceptable, some are not acceptable, if you have any anxiety. He wrote a work in two volumes, which I actually went through, discussed all the machlokesim in Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva and Kol HaShas, and Kol HaTorah Kula, which he was familiar with, two fat volumes. It's actually Aspaklaria, Torah Shebal Peh, in light of the Machlokes of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. I went through the entire thing probably 50 years ago. Actually, I even spent many, many months looking up every single Machlokes and trying to see. He has a Mahalach. It's similar to those who want to understand B'Sham and B'Silel. It's also a very favorite theme of people who worked in the seminary. I'm not getting into the value of it and not value of it. That's another discussion that needs a more academic discussion. But anyway, there were people who had this Mahalchim, you know, I'm talking about what I call the aristocrats versus the plebeians, Meshama Bisila, that's one Mahalach. It's not a Briska approach, or it's not a Lundisha, Yeshivisha approach to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva either. And they're also, again, of a similar kind of nature, but he was a fascinating person. I think I mentioned once I met him. I met him when my Rebbe, Hagdolim Rabbeinu Lichtenstein Zatzal, took us to a march on behalf of Biafra, a country in 1969 that received its freedom, and there was a lot of bloodshed along the way. And there was a famous march on behalf of Biafra. Maybe you perhaps remember that. You're about the only one here who might have any connection to that. And so we went, and we had to sign a contract with Abraham Lichtenstein that he would say the shir at nighttime, because it was during the morning shir hours, and so we all signed it as a contract. If we Didn't sign the contract. We were no longer in the Shia. We would not be Mabatul Shia, but Shum Panam Eifin. I tried to follow in his path. And we went, and we met there, Abraham Joshua Escher and Martin Luther King. That's whom I met over there. I never met him before in my life, or after that, as a matter of fact, as well. And I had no reason to meet either of the two. Whatever the case is, I'm just recalling it because it's in my head in 1969. Okay, so he has in his book, The Sabbath, he points out this Yisod. Namely, there are two sanctuaries. One is the Beis HaMikdash, and one is Shabbos. One is in Kedusha of Zman, one is Kedusha of Malkam. Now, Kedusha of Malkam wanted to establish a spatial structure and a time structure. And the Jew who's ready to accept the Shabbos and light the candles of Shabbos finds himself in the same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago got ready to enter the Malkam HaMikdash. And you find references that are almost identical. I mean, it's a place, Malkam, for Ashuas Hashrina, Ribbono Shel undoubtedly resides. Maybe I could write his address. One Har HaBayis. I don't know if I would give that address for Ribbono Shel Olam. He resides there in Har HaBayis, in the Makom HaMikdash and the Kodesh Kodoshim. And there's a certain sanctity, a certain kedusha, the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Hashem. And those who learn Kodshim certainly feel it perhaps even more than those who don't learn Kodshim. But I'm sure all of you learn Kodshim, even though maybe you didn't go to Brisk. But still, Chazal, I think, as far as I know, as part of the Chafetz Chaim, was very into learning Kodshim, and that's what all of us should do. I mean, besides all the other Zdarim that we should learn as well. But there's a certain Kedusha that resides in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis Hashem. Hashem resides there. We just read that passage not long ago. And Hashem reveals Himself to Klal Yisrael, the infinity of Hashem is brought, is able the way the Shaul HaMelech said, it's Haftarah actually, we have the Haftarah Pashas Truma, that the Ribbono Shel Olam could somehow be Mitzamtzeh Mishchina into the different measurements that are found in the different Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and between the Kruvim. And that was Moshe Rabbeinu asked, and this is the question that's found in Medrash. Hinei HaShamayim V'Shmei HaShamayim Lo Yechalku Lucha. Shaul HaMelech says, how is it possible? How do you take infinity and somehow contracted into a finite kind of area? That's the situation which is asked by Shlomo HaMelech. The Medrash elaborates on it, and those of you who are familiar with Kabbalah, the entire Kabbalah is concerned with this problem. Because with the issue, how do you go about and create, shall we say, how does the infinite fit into the finite? And that, then the answer, of course, is through some sort of tzimtzum, whatever that means. And if you read Rabbi Strauss is probably familiar with it. There's a Sefer Nevushat Tzimtzum, and the author, Avinon Frankel, so he has lengthy essays on Tzimtzum, and there are different definitions of Tzimtzum. That's a Sefer of Chaim Elojin, a very absolutely wondrous Sefer. I spent many, many hours involved with him in the Sefer. He wanted me to write Haskama for it. I told him, I'm not worthy to write any Haskama. I'm not the Sahar Mashkim. I don't even drink either. So therefore, neither Mitzad writing Haskamas, but then he discovered I did write a few Haskamas in my life. I don't know, they say, well, that's the problem with the computer, and you can Google and find everything out. And so he wanted to know, why not me? Why this one, that one, the other one? Each one I was almost in a very difficult situation. I was honest, Safiyadibra, I was not honest, but I spent hours and hours with him, and he felt I should write Haskama. He does mention my name in the foreword, whatever that's worth. He should have taken it out. That probably just unfortunately diminished the value of the Sefer. Whatever the case is, Moshe Rabbeinu's argument that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, of course, he cannot be contained in the entire universe, but through this self-contraction, through this symptom, somehow the Ribbono Shel Olam was able to reside within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. He left infinity, he set himself up in a little finite world through this self-contraction, through the Kapeiros, through the Kruvim. So that's the Beis HaMikdash. So essentially, it's true that on the one hand, infinity separates us. On the other hand, the Ribbono Shel Olam is very close to us. Tvei Dinim, that's already Yadua and Brisk as well. This is, by the way, the tension between Ava V'Yira. It's exactly how that tension, Mashchenei Acharecha Merutza. On the one hand, we obviously want to draw close to Hashem Yisbarach, and we're drawn to Hashem Yisbarach unquestionably, but then at the Rama Reis, at one point we recognize, who am I? I'm simply a cipher, I'm not even a speck of dust, and right away I recoil, right away I withdraw, right away obviously I have to literally move in a backward kind of position. So again, and the idea of Shabbos is of a similar nature. The Chod Doidi that we say, I actually, my minig is, the shul here, most don't have that minig. My father stood up at 3 points in time in the davening. He stood up actually for the entire Chod Doidi, not just the end of the Chod Doidi. He stood up for Mizmah Shudim for Shabbos, based on the Taz, based on Poskim, who indicate that, because each of these, and Baruch Hu, which we did in the Gemara, is Kabbalah Shabbos, so my father stood up for that as well. He stood up for all three things. And that's a minhag that many have. The Ashkenazim, most Ashkenazim here, don't have such a practice. I think they only stand up for the end of the Chod Doidi. And I'm talking about the last stanza. Misharam Ateres Balo, thank you. Gam Simcha Tzala. I don't daven as often as you do, so I don't know it so well. Anyway, plus you have a beautiful voice, and that's not where I am. But anyway, so so the Chod Doidi is also essentially. We have a convergence of Hashem is Baruch and Klal Yisrael. Hashem pays us a visit. So I'll let you once said a shir, very beautiful shir, and all of his shirim were beautiful. He doesn't need my imprimatur, but he was machal between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And this is based on a very fascinating Mamori Chazal that the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov is that essentially, I mean, he used it also the distinction between the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMikdash, based on the Gemara in the last parak of Brachas. The Gemara said the Beis HaKnesses is a kibeso, like a person's home. So what does it mean, a person's home? The Beis HaKnesses is my home, the home of every Jew. And we know that Hashem comes to visit Beis HaKnesses, the Gemara in the first parak of Brachas. The Gemara points out he comes, and there's no minyan. The only one there is Dr. Avi Stern Shlita, the Gabbai, who's Yerkei Shem Kamo. So he's there, I don't know what time he comes, probably 5 in the morning, but anyway, so he comes on time, but not everyone else comes on time. And the Rebbe Shem is not too happy about the fact that there's no minyan, there's manim that are tzuvim. The Gemara calls the Pasuk, and namely, Hashem comes with Torah Reach. He is the guest, and we are the Malabatim. And there are many writings I saw that you brought, this is Son Masheket, Beis HaMikdash. There it's clear, we are visitors, and the Rebbe Shem is the Balabos. And there are many rais to this. Among the rais I saw that you brought is that in Kisavo, and the Torah mentions the Parsha Bikurim, we actually also have in the davening, what is the modality that one should operate with in the Beis HaMikdash? And the answer is Ishtachavoa. Ishtachaviso ne Hashem Elokecha. Because the Mikdash is the din of Meir Mikdash, the Gemara Yevamos in the first parak. Mashiach Beis HaKnesses there, what is the proper tone and tenor? Kavod Beis HaKnesses. And the contrary, the Gemara says you have to daven lifnim, don't stay in the back of the Beis HaKnesses. And and the Beis HaMikdash, mi bikei zos miyetchem remos chatzeroi. When we don't behave in a proper kind of way, the Navi says, Mashenket Beis HaKnesses, like the Baruch Hu comes, there's no minyan, he gets upset. He's an oreach, and the ma'areach is not present, it's not there. So the Rav, a number of times he said, that's also the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. That in one case, when it comes to Shabbos, Rebbe Shem comes to us. And on Yom Tov, he says, come to me. And okay, I'm not going to go through this whole song and dance. A lot of it is actually published in Yiddish and in Hebrew. I don't know if in English, maybe they also published it in English. I heard it in Yiddish a number of times. So the Chod Doidi essentially is the Shechina knocking on our door. The Shechina comes knocking on the door of Klal Yisrael. We turn around to face the door. You know, our Salvation case meaning was, I never saw anyone do this except for the Rav. The Rav used to walk out the door, and the whole Maimonides walked out the door with him. They all walked out, because the Gemara said twice in Shas, in Bava Kamma and Shabbos, the Gemara said that the Amoraim and Tannaim, they would walk out to the edge of the field to greet the Shechina. And Boi Venetze, the Kva Shabbos Malkasa, so our Salvation would walk out. So I remember the first time I was witness to that, I said, well, we're over, we're finished the davening. What did I know? No, he went to Mimakayim. What he felt was the Chazal. Now, we just turn around. I don't think we do much more than that. But that's what we do. So, again, you go to greet the Shechina, and there are two versions. I think it was Avyanai, the Gemara said, both in Shabbos and Bava Kamma, twice in Shas. Marse Avyanai was the one who went out to greet the Shabbos, and Bovi Chala and the other walked to the edge of the town. So Shabbos is the Yom Kadosh, and Shabbos is essentially the presence of Hashem is Barach. You can actually be Magish of Shechina. The Kedusha comes to us, and that's why the Torah combines in four places the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Mishkan. And those essentially, these are, as I said, one is the Kedusha in Zman, one is the Kedusha in Mokom, and it's something which is, as I said, the Mikdash is clearly an element of Mora, and Shabbos element of Kavod. Again, based on what I said earlier a moment ago, Beis HaKnesset, Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos and Yom Tov, and now we're talking about Shabbos in the Makom HaMikdash, also a rather stark contrast between the two. And the Gemara, the Mishnah writes in Megillah, the Mishnah cites the pasuk of Hashemosi as Migdashechem, Av B'Shesherim, Migdashasin and Endim. That's the big machlokes all over Shas, where the Kedusha Rishenim, Kitchel HaShaita, Kitchel HaSedovo, Machlokes Tanoim, Machlokes HaRishenim. And the Ram is a famous psak where he's Machalik, he says, even though Kedusha Rishenim, Kitchel HaShaita, Vloy Kitchel HaSedovo, as a result of the Kibush and the Chanetza, the Kibush was Batel, but as far as the Kedusha is concerned, it's still there based on the Mishnah of the Gilda that I just cited. And that Kedusha, the Ram Vachal, we see in the Makom HaMikdash, and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. I'm not going to get into that issue, which is an impossible issue, and enough Habed Yom Nishbach, Habed Kumas in Nishtabu, to understand that there's a whole Sefer Mikdash David, Rav David HaKohen Rappaport, devoted to this issue. You can spend your life, literally, an entire lifetime, just studying this issue, which is probably kedai to do. But anyway, whatever the case is, even though the Mikdash is destroyed, the Shechina is always there. Now that's a question, either a philosophic question, a Kabbalistic question. Can the Shechina reside in debris? Can Shechina reside in buildings that were destroyed? Of course, the answer is yes. It's not a stira, it's a philosophic question as well, the Kabbalistic question, and the religious question, and the halachic question. But the Shechina Beis HaMikdash is transcendental. That's the reason, as I said, you look at the end of Pekudei, oh, that might be the Rayam. As soon as the Mishkan was completed, so the Psukim at the end of Parshas Pekudei, I'm sure you're familiar with it, Ramban has an Arichos. The Ramban in the Akdoma Tishmais, and the Ramban in the end of Pekudei, and the last Pasuk. The last few psukim, by Chase Onan is oil moed, Uchvei Hashem, Mole is a Mishka. Uloyochel Moshe Lovel Oil Oil Moed, Kishochan Olav Onan, Uchvei Hashem, Mole is a Mishka. Ube Olo Se Onan, Meal a Mishka, Yisu Vele Yisu Vachom Aseim, Vimlo Yiola Hona, Vlo Yisu Adyom He Olo So, Ki Anan Hashem Ala Mishka Yomon, Vieshti Alai Lobo, Leine, Cholbeis Yisrael Vachom Aseim. So this was a very astounding pasuk. As soon as the Mishkan was completed, there's now a cloud of Hashuas Hashchina that fills the Mishkan, a cloud by day, a fire by night. Moshe Rabbeinu could not enter. That was the Makom Hashchina. It was during their travels, a perceptual kind of light, a very emotive, emotional kind of experience of Beis HaMikdash. It was obviously outside the laws of causality. We're talking about Nisei Nisim that the Torah describes that took place actually in the Makom HaMikdash in the Mishkan, and it was an experience which was of a transcendental nature. And on Shabbos as well, so you have a similar Shabbos is also indicative of the presence of Hashem Yisbarach in a very murgosh kind of way. I think I mentioned already many times that Ramban writes in the Akdama, it's his Perush al Torah, that he's going to, Rashi will be his guiding light. I discussed this actually two Friday nights ago, and indicated how careful we have to learn Rashi with a fine tooth comb. And then the Ramban said, the Ibn Ezra will treat Tochachas Begula V'Avim Suteris, a hidden kind of love, but open rebuke. And that's exactly how the Ramban treats the Ibn Ezra. Most of the time we see him rebuking the Ibn Ezra. He's not happy with the Ibn Ezra. However, here and there, example on the Pasuk, by Yivarach Elokim Asiyam Hashri, by Kaddish Aso, the Rashi comments, Kitcho B'mon, Bercho B'mon, the Ibn Ezra then goes into a philosophic explanation of the heightened emotional state of Shabbos and intellectual acuity that exists on Shabbos, and the Ramban writes, "V'nochanu l'maminibo." Probably he's talking about the Neshama Yisera, but Ibn Ezra doesn't speak in such jargon. His jargon is of more philosophic nature, and therefore he goes on to say how literally on Shabbos one's emotional quotient and intellectual quotient are heightened. They say over from Gedolei Yisrael, Rav Dessler, Zatzal, and many other Gedolei Yisrael, they said on Shabbos they were zeicha to levels of understanding of Havan and Torah that weren't zoch in the course of the week. And so there are essentially, we have these two elements that are clearly very much not just juxtaposed in Chumash, but obviously they are very much connected conceptually and spiritually and ruchnistic-wise. These are two elements that are l'mala midarach hateva, both the Beis HaMikdash, both the Mishkan, as well as Shabbos, all the Malam Midar Chateva, and really we have to obviously have an appreciation of both of these elements at the highest of levels. And I just want to, along the way, while I'm mentioning, I'm not going to go into, I thought I would discuss it, but I'm not going to. Shabbos, again, even those, I went many years ago, I read an essay from Achad Ha'am. Chalam, those who are familiar, probably no longer anymore today, but one of the Rosh Yeshiva, I told to Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshiva Belt, Chalam, he quoted me at the Pasuk Chumash, Kimat, Achad Ha'am, when Al Yishtecha, the Vesa Oleh Oshram, Achad Ha'am, the Loshon, the Pasuk, that's what that guy was all about, so why are you citing him? I said, because he said something which I think is of value. Yoter, Mishe Yisrael Shamu Et HaShabbat, HaShabbat Shamal Yisrael. I said, what's wrong with that? Baruch Hashem, he came to Akora, and even Achad Ha'am had Akora. Ah, he said it was just accidental. Anyway, so whatever the case is, we have to alti vozachol davar, and even people. I come from a different era than this was Shiva, and a different place, and a different makom, and everything different. Just to mention one of the questions that Mefarshim asked, and I mentioned the Sevar Eish, the Chol Moshe Sechem Yom HaShabbos. Why is Havara singled out? Why did the Torah mention not lighting a fire on Shabbos day? Wow, this is a on to itself again, Harbid Joe, Nishmach, Rabbi Kumus and Nishtabru. I could share with you, we could spend here another 100 hours discussing this matter. I'm not exaggerating. My father was very into this topic. He was into every topic of Chumash, because that's basically what he learned. He learned Chumash, Kal Yom Kal Laila. So every topic interested him. So Chazal asked why somehow Havara singled out. We have a famous Machlokes Tanoim, all over Shas. And we have actually two answers in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi said that we're taught someone who is Mechal Shabbos is punishable with death by Skila. If you light a fire, what you did was you simply violated a law. And of course, you chayv Malkus for violating a law. The other is the Chibit Rav Nosson. The Gemara has whether the Lav Yotzos or the Chalik Yotzos. That's Rav Nosson Shita that he holds the Chalik Yotzos, namely, that the fact that lighting a fire is singled out, we derive that a person who violates several malachas at one time is liable for chatas for each one, and not just one for being mechallel Shabbos. And the Yishalmi actually writes that it was singled out because all sorts of fire are forbidden on Shabbos, even one that's used by Bezdin to put someone to death, because there are four Dalamises Bezdin, Skiva, Sveva, Vechenek, Sanhedrin. So the question, what makes the malacha of Eish? What makes it so miyuchad, so distinctive, that the Torah felt the necessity to single out? So there, as I said, many different explanations. So I'm going to mention one of the many, and that is that on Shabbos we're supposed to essentially rest from the malachas that Hashem used in the creation of the world. Of course, we don't really know what malachas Hashem used when He created the world, although we were given an inkling, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Memtes, with the creation of the Mishkan. That's how the Gemara derives all the Lamites Malachas. The Mishkan is a kind of diminutive world. It's an Eilam b'fnei Atzmo, an Eilam Kotten b'fnei Atzmo. That's how Chazal see the Mishkan. We're commanded to refrain on Shabbos from work that's performed in order to create the Mishkan. So therefore, the same Malachas Hashem used to create the world, Chazal see this kind of analogy. Now, fire was not fully created on the 6 days of the week. When was fire completed? The Gemara Pesachim, on Motzei Shabbos. So maybe for that reason, we say the bracha, Bar Meir HaEsh, because the fire was created on Motzei Shabbos. And the malacha was not used in the creation of the world. So it could be, for that reason, you're not Chaya Skila, but you're Chaya Malchus. Because, as I said, it was not involved in the process of creation. I'm now just beginning to engage in my usual speculative kind of behavior. And maybe we could use Rav Yossi's understanding that he contended, as I mentioned before, that Lelav Yotzos. He explains the Pasuk of Chumash. By the seventh day, Hashem completed His work which He had done, and then Hashem abstained by Echal Elokim Ayom Hashvi Melachto Asher Asa from the work that He had done. Hashem then by Baruch Elokim Yom Hashvi by Kadosh Asa, He then sanctified the seventh day, which He abstained from all the work which Hashem created. And so we see Hashem rested from the Melacha which He used to create. So the Marshal of Adav Adayme, a king who built himself a palace, and at the completion of the work, he made a big suda. So if the palace was completed, let's say, on Gimel Tammuz, and he made a suda on that day, then this shows there's nothing special about that day. It happens to be the day that he completed the construction of that palace. If, however, he made a suda on a Shredish Tammuz, even though it was not yet complete, then he's highlighting the importance of having the suda coincide with Rosh Chodesh, even though he didn't complete the binyan yet. So the same can be said regarding Shabbos. The significance of the Shabbos is highlighted even more when it's Mekudosh, even though the work has not yet been completed. So, knows Hashem was Mekadosh of Shabbos even before the world was completed. That highlights the significance of Shabbos. So Shabbos essentially, Chazal comment actually over here in the beginning of Bereishis, that which the day, Chazal say, in which heaven and earth were finished. The beginning of Perek Beis of Bereishis, Vayechula Shamayim Ve'oretz V'chol Tzvah, is the pasuk that we say. It's the basis of the world with regard to time, the Mishkan, and later the Migdash was the base of the world with regard to space, as I mentioned earlier in the Shir. And the Sefer Yetzirah writes that the world has three dimensions. Namely, there's time, the basis of time is Shabbos. There's Mokom, the basis that has Mishkan, Migdash, and then there's the Neshama. In the Migdash, you're able to absorb more Kedusha than anyone else, than anywhere else. Of course, that depends on our behavior. The going reached unbelievable heights and he lived in Vilna. And Titus was in Kodesh Kadoshim, the Gemara in Gittin, and Rachman Litzan, his whole life was rebellion against Hashem. So people who behave as they should and treat the Mikdash properly will feel the Kedusha, the Makom HaMikdash. And the same can be said regarding not just Makom, but also regarding Zman. Shabbos is a chance to come to Hashem's Baruch and spirituality, but of course it depends on to what extent we're Hashem is Shabbos, to what extent we protect the sanctity of the Shabbos. And the third part of the triangle is the Neshama. And the basis for that is Klal Yisrael. We daven to Hashem that the entire world will grow in Kedusha. We daven for a day, Yom Shekula Shabbos Emnucha, L'chai Elomim, which is of course Lassi Lovo. We want the Kedusha of Yishalayim to spread. We want the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael to spread. The Gemara has a machlokes regarding Yom Tov. The famous machlokes is the Sugi Psochem and elsewhere, whether it should be Chetzel Hashem, for learning and davening, chetzel lachem, eating and drinking, or kul lachem, very well known machlokes tanoim. So one opinion, the former opinion, is the tribute to Rav Elazar. The other one to Rabbi Yeshua. We find in the Gemara, regarding Shabbos, everyone's agreement, there has to be time for eating and drinking. So any day which is related to Matan Torah, the Gemara says, hakol moedim, that on Shavuos you require lachem, time for eating and drinking. The Gemara says, regarding Shavuos, the Torah was given on Shabbos, Purim as well, is Kimo v'Kiblo, that's also Gemara in Makkos, Gemara in Shabbos, also a time for Kabbalah Satela. Today the Klal Yisrael received the Torah, and we received it of our own free will without any coercion. And Kimo v'Kiblo Ayahudim, as the Chazal say, Kimo Mashikiblu Kvar, we accept it upon ourselves. And I say Purim is also a day of Matan Torah. Yom Kippur is when the Luchos Shnios were given, the Gemara in Titus. And although we can't eat Yom Kippur, but we eat every Yom Kippur in order to commemorate that. So the Halacha says that if a person learns Torah the entire week, he should sleep more on Shabbos. That's a famous theory that the Mishnah Berurah, the Beis Yosef discusses it, and the Mishnah Berurah cites this as well. A person who learns the entire week should sleep more on Shabbos. Doesn't mean you have to sleep the entire Shabbos. Obviously, Shabbos should be much more than just sleeping and eating. Shalom Sudos, you have to daven, you have to learn as much as you could. You have to use Shabbos, as I said earlier, to enhance your spiritual pursuits, the way the Ibn Ezra explained. So the same applies also in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not simply a place to live, but primarily a place to learn Torah, a place to observe mitzvahs. And just as you shouldn't waste the Shabbos, you shouldn't waste Eretz Yisrael. And I saw in the name of Rav Dessler Zatzal, that he writes that it's important to eat cholent on Shabbos. But be careful, he says, Shabbos doesn't eat the cholent. Shabbos is more than cholent. Shabbos is more than hamin. There's much more to Shabbos than hamin, and the neshama of Klal Yisrael is on a much higher level than a goyish neshama, and Eretz Yisrael is greater than all the other lands put together. And unfortunately, because we didn't act properly in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem took away Eretz Yisrael, took away the Beis Hamikdash from us, and Baruch Hashem, we didn't take away the Shabbos, but we have to hold on to Shabbos for dear life, and we have to use Eretz Yisrael as a means to observe Torah and learn and do mitzvahs and chesed and tefillah. We want to remain here, and that's what the tzolchim. And we ask Hashem in Birchas Hamazon. The Gemara says that No delecha Hashem Elokeinu al she'inchavta l'avoseinu eretz chemda teiru rechola. After which he said a 3-hour shiur on those three words, chemda teiru rechola. You don't want to hear the shiur, certainly not now. 3-hour shiur in Yiddish on those three words. So unbelievable. And the second bracha, which I just referred to, and we thank Hashem, so the question is, why was this inserted in that bracha? That's a bracha of al ha'aretz, a bracha b'ichas ha'aretz. The Gemara says in brachas that we need all three. Kol shel ha'omar le'bris, le'teru, le'aretz, le'yosu, le'chavoso, not yosu b'ichas ha'aretz. But why was it included, bris and Torah? And the answer, of course, is Eretz Yisrael has no meaning if it's devoid of ruchnius. And there are many countries that are greater for any number of reasons, but the yardstick which measures Eretz Yisrael is bris milah and Torah. Eretz Yisrael, not just a physical place to live, Eretz Yisrael is a makom of incredibly elevated ruchnius. And the same applies since we are about to, Shenichas Ador, Marvin Besimcha, and there's a Chiluk HaDeos, I discussed it on Sunday night, whether it applies to both Ador Rishon and Ador Sheni. Clearly Ador Sheni, but some say even Ador Rishon, there's a din, Shenichas Ador, of course there's a din of eating meat and drinking wine, there's much more to that. Primarily Purim is the day of Kabbalah Santera. We daven for the entire world to gain the Kedusha that they all believe in Hashem, and Mitzvah Hashem, Alavai. We say the Lenin Shabbat three times a day. That's what we want. The entire world should come to that Hakara, that recognition. We pray for the Kedusha of Shabbos and Eretz Yisrael, and the entire Klal Yisrael to keep Kedusha of Shabbos and honor Eretz Yisrael. And if we do so, we'll then merit the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash and be worthy holding on to Eretz Yisrael. Alavai, we should be Zeicha to really experience Purim Kama Shetzarich. And that will bring us back to what I said earlier, to the two Kiddushos, the Kiddush of Zman, the Kiddush of Mokom, the Mishkan, the Shabbos, and the Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, will be really of coming to what the Ramban writes. The Ramban says in the Abdomen, Tishmais, and the Ramban also Pekudei, and the Ramban says, once we came back to this matzah of basically, of the Mishkan, the Ramban calls the Mishkan, and those at the Targum translates the Mishkan of the Ogos, Alei Ola. That the Ogos, Vayir Elo Hashem, Beholi Imamu, Yoshe Pesach HaOyel, Oyel is Mishkan, where the Targum Keseder had the translation. So each of us have to build a Mishkan in our own homes, and certainly Kal Vachem in Eretz Yisrael. And all these days that I described, whether it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, and Purim as well, certainly Halavai, we should be Zeche to understand it in the highest levels of experience of Ruchnius. And Be'ez Hashem, this will be the harbinger of the Gula Vasudhava of Imperium. Amen. Amen.